Thank you so much to Rossi and the team for leading us so well. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all on a beautiful day. Absolutely beautiful day in Gnoobs. A warm welcome to those who are visiting us for maybe the first time. You're so welcome. Hope you feel right at home. And if you sniff really hard or breathe in deeply really hard, you'll smell some delicious coffee that's being brewed next door. And I know it's going to be delicious because my wife made it. And our cell group's in charge of coffee today, so come and enjoy that and have some fellowship after the service. Just a couple of odds and ends. Cindy, thank you for sharing that news about your hubby. It was so good to go to the hospital and spend some time with Sins and Stewie in the ward. And the first operation has gone well. But Stuart still needs two more stents fitted this coming week. So stent number 4 and stent number 5 will go in this week. So 5 stents, that's a big, serious thing that's happened to Stuart. But we thank the Lord for sparing his life sins. 38 years old. You wouldn't think a 38-year-old would have a heart attack. But he did, a very serious one. And we just pray, like you said, sins, for complete and utter restoration. And that he'll be able to live for a full life as a husband to you and a father to the kids. So thank you to you for sharing that. I think many of us may have heard that our great friend Neil Mack passed away this week. He passed away on Friday. I think we all could see him withering away from that cancer. But we all, if you spend time with Neil up until the day he died, he was still full of his old life. And I always say this right-hand side of the church, these front two rows are never going to be the same again. Who am I going to pick on now? You know, I'd have to find Lenny Creel or somebody else somewhere. But we just want to honor Neil Mack. He was a real blessing to all of our lives, an asset to our church. And he actually passed away in Centurion, in Pretoria. He spent the last week or so of his life with his sister and well cared for as well. And so when the time is right, we'll organize a wonderful farewell service for Neil here at the church. But man, God brings special people across our paths. And I think all of us who knew and loved Neil would say he was close to top of the list. I always say to people, if I ask them, do you know Neil Mack? And if they say, well, I think I know him, I say, no, you don't. Because if I mention Neil Mack, you will know that you know him. There's no doubt about that. So we think of his family today as well. So good to see Cheryl, the birthday girl, here today. Cheryl, talking about blessings, you are a huge blessing to me and to all of us. You never, ever give ladies' names away or birthdays away in public, so I won't. But if you want to go on Facebook, it's clearly stated there. It's not hidden on Facebook. It's somewhere between 60 and 62, that sort of general vicinity. Cheryl, we love you to bits. You are a huge blessing to our community and to our church. And may you have a wonderful day and a blessed year ahead as well. I'm just trying to scan my eyes, see if I can see Bev Latakhan. She's not here, is she, this morning? I saw Bev in hospital this past week. She also had some real serious issues there with gallbladder and gallstones and things like that. But praise the Lord, she's on the mend. And I'm sure she'll be back with us next week again. Guys, don't forget tonight, Len Fulyun, it's going to be jam-packed, I'm sure, so try and get you early to get a good seat. But it's going to be so amazing to have somebody minister to us who actually can't see us. So we'll be invisible to him, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll be connected, and there's going to be a wonderful time of really powerful ministry happening in this church this evening. So invite some friends and come along yourself, it's going to be wonderful. All right, if you got your Bible with you, you can turn to the New Testament, to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3. Oh, yeah, that's a really good point, actually, just by you turning to Ephesians chapter 3. If you just follow me this way, I just want to point it out to you. There's some stackered walls that have been erected here, and the stackered walls run on a rail, this rail over here. And it's still a work in progress, so there's still going to be some safety measures applied to this rail. So I'm just warning you, if you go into the loo, this rail's never been there before, but it is there now. So when you get here, just step over it in case you might need some medical attention. otherwise. And I'm saying it from personal experience. It happened to me. I was on sabbatical. I didn't know about that rail. And I was happily going to the loo, and I saw my backside seriously. It was a train smash. Cemeteries ever since. It was real. So I'm just warning you. You don't want to follow my example. I examined that carpet very closely a couple of days ago. So you are warned. All right, this is a passage that I'm sure Paula can really vouch for, that spoke really deeply to both of us over the course of my sabbatical time. And it touched us on a real deep level, and it still is in some ways working in our lives. And so I can't wait to share some thoughts from it with you this morning. So Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. I think we all know the context probably. And that's the Apostle Paul's writing to a church, a bunch of Christian people living in Ephesus in what is today Western Turkey. So this is what he writes to them in verse 14 of chapter 3. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." And I love the way he ends. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all generations without end. Amen." Father, thank you so much for this incredible text. Lord, these aren't the words of man. These are the words of God. And Father, over the course of our sabbatical time, Paul and I have got so much benefit and so much encouragement and nourishment out of these verses. Holy Spirit, won't you enable me, empower me to release this word well this morning, and may it find a place deep in the hearts of every single hearer. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's begin in verse 14, because look how Paul begins. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." If you're reading from the NIV version of the Bible, your translation will say, "I kneel before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, in their culture, bowing before royalty was pretty much part of their custom. They were used to bowing. In our day and age, even at Wimbledon, I see this last year, that they did away with the ladies curtsying to the royal box. It's a foreign concept in our culture to bow, and maybe it's a good thing. That bowing is actually reserved for no human being, but when we bow before God. There's something about that posture of humility when you get down on your knees and you recognize, God, you are God and I'm not. Lord, you know more than I know. You are powerful. You are almighty. You are omnipotent. You know the beginning from the end. You're the one that knit me together in my mother's womb. And as I bow before God, I just recognize I'm small and God is big. And what I love about this prayer is that Paul is bowing before God, not for himself. Did you see that? He's actually bowing on behalf of others. And maybe as a father, as a mother, you want to bow before God and pray for your children. It's our son's 15th birthday today. And we began the day by praying for him. Maybe as a parent, you want to get on your knees and pray for your kids, that they will grow in the ways of Jesus and become men and women of character. For the grandparents here this morning, never underestimate the prayer of a grandparent for a grandchild. Maybe you want to get on your knees and say, Lord, for my grandson, my granddaughter, won't you bless them? Won't you keep them? Won't you raise them up in the ways of God? And so Paul begins by bowing down. God, you are great, you are powerful, but I'm bowing down not for myself in this instance. I'm bowing down on behalf of others. And then verse 16, the prayer really begins to heat up because he begins to speak in verse 16 about the power of the Holy Spirit. Look what he says. He says to be strengthened with might through his Holy Spirit in the inner man. Now, I love that verse because in many ways it took me by surprise. When I think about the Holy Spirit, often I think about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I think about the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to serve God, the power to do things. And all those things are amazing and wonderful, but this is something incredibly different. This is the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your inner core of who you are, and He's going to reveal supernaturally to you something the human mind can't comprehend, and that is the depth and the width and the height of the love of God. The Holy Spirit is going to reveal something powerfully, Paul prays, into the core of these Ephesian believers' beings. I'm going to develop this as I go along, but I want you to know up front that this is not something that can be intellectually known. You can read about the love of God until you're blue in the face. This is not something that can be superficially known. What Paul's speaking about here is a knowledge of God's love. Listen to this, that goes to the very core of your being. We're going to unpack this in a few moments as to what that looks like. But just in case you wonder, we're not talking about something intellectual. You can write a test, yes, God loves me, I tick the box. This is something that when it happens, you will absolutely know about it. It's something that happens experientially in the very depths, in the very core of who you are. You know that you are completely and absolutely loved by God in the core of your being. Or as he says, in the inner man. You see, folk, the inner, I'm glad Paul mentions the inner man there because you can spend years getting frustrated because you're dealing with symptoms in your life. You're dealing with fruits, but you never actually get into the root of why you are the way you are. Even in counseling sessions, I can spend months, years, tackling symptoms in your life. But the symptoms are pointing me to something deeper. And so in this case, Paul says, I actually want to help you. I want to coach you. I want to get you to examine your inner man, the very core of who you are. Because when the core changes, when the root changes, everything else begins to follow suit. And so this is going to go deep this morning, not superficial, getting to the very core of our beings. Rather than dealing with symptoms. For years, I've battled, as some of you may battle even today, with reoccurring headaches behind my eyes. Especially on a Thursday, if I'm preparing my message and I'm sitting at a computer for a long period of time, often I get this particularly behind this eye, just a reoccurring headache. And what I normally do is I go to the medicine cupboard, I get out a box of Panados, and much to Paul, because she doesn't seem to like medication very much, I take, two normally. If it's really extreme, I take three, and I repeat that every 4 hours. I just hook the Panados. And it does actually, to some measure, relieve the pain for a period of time. It keeps me going for a few hours, but then we discovered a much better solution. Paul actually came up behind me and began to massage my neck muscles. And she went up here into my head and into my shoulder muscles. And it actually felt like the pain was dissolving. And we discovered that we actually found that the root or the core of the pain, the source of the pain was not behind the eye. That was a clue. That was a symptom. The real source was in the neck and in the shoulders. And so now whenever I get a headache, I skip the Panadas and I go straight to Paula. And within 10 minutes, I'm sorted. It's amazing how convenient those headaches can be. Eh? Till every now and again, Paula. That's just fantastic. And of course, because you're solving a medical problem, she's only too glad to help. But it's been such a relief to put away to stop dealing with the symptoms of the problem and actually get to the real source of it. And this is what Paul's saying. Guys, this is so critical in the church. And my dad as a pastoral counselor can really vouch for this. And Steve Bass and guys in the city like this who deal with the symptomatic issues. What you really need more than anything else is not someone to give you a Panado or to patch you up for a week or a month. You need a supernatural, God-given revelation of how much He loves you in the core of your being. Because when you know that, man, I tell you what, everything begins to change. If you think about, you try and get your mind around this, that the God of this universe, that the God who spoke everything into being, that the God who calls the galaxies of stars by name, the God who sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die in your place and for your sin, this almighty God who rules the universe absolutely and completely, Dave Huff, in the very core of His being. There's nothing about Dave's life that's hidden from God. There's nothing Dave can do to make God love him more or love him less. Dave Huff is a finite speck of dust. Is absolutely and completely and eternally loved by the God of this universe. You take a moment to get your mind around that. When that moves 30 centimeters from your head to your heart, everything begins to change. And that applies for every single one of you. All of you are facing different situations, different circumstances. Some of you are walking difficult and dark roads. But when you know in the very core, being, I am loved by God, man, it does something to your soul. A lot of things begin to change, and that's exactly what Paul is talking about. Look what he says in verse 17. He speaks about being rooted and grounded. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And listen to this, that you being rooted and grounded, the NIV says established in love. This is so important because we're living in a world that is so unpredictable. Nobody knows what tomorrow holds. Yeah, we've got a beautiful young lady in the front row who a couple of years ago I visited in a hospital who was battling with serious cancer. Look at her. Unexpected. But God has raised her up. Neil Mack. All of a sudden, Neil, you've got stage 4 cancer, literally weeks to live. We don't know what tomorrow holds. All we do know is that there is uncertainty ahead of us. The storms of life are real, and you are living in them even now, some of you. But when you are rooted and grounded in the love of God, man, the storms can rage around you, but nothing's going to shake you. You can ask my dad. We went to Neil Mack's house the day before he left for Pretoria. I looked in his eyes. I knew I'd never see the man again. And he also knew it. But that conversation was full of encouragement, full of laughter. We prayed for him, and then he prayed for us. Not a superficial prayer, but a deep and a powerful prayer, rooted and grounded in love. Is that true for you? As you face and navigate the storms of life, what you're facing today and what may come tomorrow, are you prepared for the storms of life? Are you rooted, established, and grounded in the love of Christ. My friends, what I'm talking about this morning, to be absolutely convinced that God loves you in your inner man, is not something that anybody can talk you into, which is why I feel very relaxed this morning. Nobody can talk you into it. Nobody can intellectually make you believe it. As you saw, this is a supernatural thing that God has to do in your life. If the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal it to you, you won't know it. It's a real spiritual transaction by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know that because look at verse 16. Verse 16 tells us that He would grant to you according to the riches of His glory. It doesn't say Mark Morrell can give it to you. Nobody else can give it to you. This is something God grants to you. And our prayer for you over this past week has been that, Lord, today, there are many people in Ganubi. There are many people who will fill this building on Sunday, Lord, who need to be granted revelation of the depth of your love for them. That's been our prayer. Lord, I can't make it happen. Especially for those who've blown it, for those who fail. For those who feel full of guilt and shame, for those who feel insecure, for those who've walked a road of addiction and divorce, and for those who just feel they don't measure up, Lord, today, won't you give them a revelation of the depth of your love? I can't do it, even though I would love to be able to try. This is something that God, by His Spirit, must supernaturally do in your heart. And we've been praying that for many of you, today will be the day that it happens. I don't know how many of you at some or other stage in your life have tried to play matchmaker. Really, playing a matchmaker means you're trying to facilitate a meeting between a single guy and a single girl. Have you tried that before? How many of you met your spouse through a matchmaking situation? On the internet? Wow, that's a tricky one. That's only in Ganubi, that one. I met my wife on the internet, but it worked out. He worked at the museum, this is name I won't mention, and she worked at this London Technical College, which are literally over the road. How would you have known that via the internet you'd meet your spouse who was so close to you? What was it? A matchmaking. So matchmaking. So you know how it goes, you know, you organize a bra or you organize some sort of social event and you make sure both parties come to the same event, and let's say her name's Janine and Janine arrives and Gary arrives, they're both single, and you say, "Yo, Gary, look, yes, Janine. Janine, you're a really good cook, aren't you? Yo, Gary, Janine's cupcakes, you can't believe it. And she's single, Gary." And you can see in Gary's face, it's not what he was looking for. She might be beautiful, she might be talented, she might make good cupcakes, but unless his heart falls in love with Janine, you can't manufacture that love. But when it happens, oh my goodness, you've experienced that. Man, when you fall in love, nothing will keep you apart from each other. You'll travel to the ends of the earth to be with that person. We spent time this past week with Dendi. Dendi can't walk. He's riddled with cancer, really serious cancer. But next to him on the bed was Denise. And I remember doing 5 years ago their 50th wedding anniversary in this church. And so they celebrate 55 years of marriage. And we spoke about for better or for worse, in sickness and in health. For 55 years, Denise and Dendi have shared the journey of life together. You can't manufacture that kind of love. That is God-given supernatural love. And so this is what Paul's saying. No one can talk you into loving God. No one can talk you into following Jesus. No one can talk you into experiencing His love in the core of your being. But when it happens, oh my goodness, nothing will ever, ever, ever be the same again. I was hoping Paula was here, but she's making the coffee. But if I just say to Paula, for example, today, and I told you last week we've been married for 21 years. If I just say to Paula this morning, Paula, after 21 years of marriage, do we still love each other? Oh, dead quiet from the kitchen. But let's say she could hear the answer, the question. And you kept quiet. Talk, Paula. Talk. Yeah, chaps. So let me just start it again. So after 21 years of marriage, if I just say to Paula, Paula, do you and I still love each other? Okay. So, but that's good. But if Paula, as you could see, my initial reaction, if Paula hesitated or said, gee, I don't know. I think so. But I just know for a fact, just believe me, trust me, this lady loves me. And I love her with all of my being. But you can't manufacture it. It's real or it's not. So I can tell you this morning, you know what, my friends, God loves you. He loves you. He knows you. And someone might go, wow, Mark, that's cool. Oh, that's really good. But when you get it in your spirit, man, God loves me. God knows me. I'm completely rooted and grounded in His love. When that happens to you and it really happens, how can you ever be the same again? You'll never, ever recover from your love by Almighty God. So some people ask me, and this is the million-dollar question, Mark, how can I get my wife or my husband or my son or my daughter to love God? I'm sitting here this morning and I wish my son or my wife or my husband was with me. They're playing golf or they're surfing or they're doing something else this morning, but they're not following God. How can I make them love God? And I say, you can't. But what you can do is like Paul. You can get on your knees every day and in a posture of humility, bring that person before the Lord and say, Lord, in your grace, and in your mercy, won't you supernaturally open the eyes of their hearts, Lord, that they may know wherever they happen to be today, whatever they happen to be doing, that they are loved by Almighty God. That's what you can do. And that's what I encourage you to do. I want to wrap it up with a verse here in John chapter 15, verse 9, that literally blew my mind. I want you to look at the words carefully because these are the words of Jesus. And you can actually personalize these words and apply them to your own life. Look what Jesus says. And notice the first two words primarily. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, just as, those are two important words, just as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Just as? How does the Father love Jesus? Does He love Him completely? Does He love Him totally? Does He love Him with a love that is beyond human comprehension? Well, then you listen to the words of Jesus this morning to you. Just as the Father has loved Jesus, just as, so Jesus loves you today. No more, no less. Not 50%, not 40%, not conditional upon your behavior. Jesus loves you completely. Just as the Father loves Him. That's got to change your life. Wow. just as. I just love the way Paul wraps this up in verse 19. Cell group on Wednesday night, we couldn't move from this verse. We were blown away. On a human level, we couldn't understand it. And this is why, let me read the words to you again in verse 19. To know, not intellectually or superficially, experientially, to know the love of Christ, which passes human knowledge. I told you, you can't know this intellectually. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and listen to this, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh my goodness. I want to just give you a moment to let that settle. You look at that verse and try and appropriate that. Paul is praying that as you know the love of Christ, as you know the love of God, that the fullness, listen to this, the fullness of who God is, the fullness of God would then dwell within you. I don't know what to say. That you would be a custodian, you would be a carrier, in your home, your family, your marriage, your workplace, of the fullness of God in you, all of God within you. Why do you say, I can't do it? Why are you so intimidated by giants? Why, when obstacles come across your path, you want to run away? Why is your heart full of fear? When you know in the core of your being that you are loved by God and the fullness of who He is dwells in you, nothing can shake you. You will never, ever be moved. Now, this is not a once-off event. It's something we need to be praying for daily. Lord, fill me to overflowing with the power of your Spirit. Daily, daily. And I know that because Paul says in Ephesians 5:18, he says, and do not be drunk with wine. And that also includes beer and tequila, just in case you wanted to twist the scripture a bit there. And do not be drunk with wine that leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I find this so fascinating that Paul is equating the effects of someone intoxicated by alcohol with the effects of somebody who's filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, when somebody's intoxicated, you can see it. It's visible. You know? Just go down to Desi's on a Saturday night and you'll see evidence of people filled with the wrong spirit. You know? However, the effects of that wrong spirit don't last forever. So the person who was drunk last night is sober this morning, God willing, with a headache, of course. But they're not behaving the same as they were last night. Why? Because the effects of the alcohol have now worn off. And so they need to refuel again to get the same effect. So Paul's saying, listen to the equation he's making here. He's saying just as a person needs to refuel with alcohol to be controlled by that alcohol, so you on a regular basis need to say, Holy Spirit, fill me to overflowing with your Spirit, that I can be controlled and led by you. Is that your daily prayer? It can be. Lord, as I wake up today, there's fresh challenges. There's fresh opportunities. Lord, today, like I prayed yesterday, fill me, please, with the power of your Holy Spirit that glorifies you and honors you. So let me wrap it up just by reading a verse, and then I want to pray. One of the most powerful verses, I guess, in the whole Bible, and one that we all, I'm sure, know and love. The same Paul who wrote Ephesians writes this in Romans 8:37. He says, yet in all these things, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Bearing in mind, he's writing these words from a Roman prison cell. He himself is in a horrible situation. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm absolutely persuaded, there's no doubt in my mind, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing. I want us to do two things as we wrap it up this morning. One of them is you may have friends, you may have relatives, parents, you may have children, grandparents, you may have grandchildren, who you know this morning need to experience in the core of their being the radical love of God. Maybe like the prodigal son, they've walked down a road of rebellion that they thought would lead to life, but it's actually led to death. And today, as a mom, a dad, a grandparent, your heart breaks because you've realized it's beyond my power to change the situation. I've spoken to my kid. I've tried everything on a human level to get them to listen, to get them to understand, but I can't. And so that's why today, like Paul, you're going to get on your knees. And you're going to say, Lord, I give up. But I pray that you would grant to them, by the power of your Holy Spirit, even today, wherever they may be, a revelation in the core of their being that they are loved by you. And then you leave the rest up to God, because you cannot make it happen. Then a second group of people. As I've preached this morning, let me pose a question to you. Are you absolutely 100% convinced as you sit there this morning that God completely, wholeheartedly, and passionately loves you? In the very core of your being, you find yourself this morning rooted and established in love. That even though the storms of life may be real, you're never going to be moved because you are loved by God. And you know that in the core of your being. Or are you someone like many of us who battles with insecurity? You drift in and out of knowing and not knowing. You sometimes find yourself battling with fear. What does tomorrow hold? Am I going to make it? And so what I want to do for you this morning is to pray, like Paul prayed for those believers, that God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, would in the core of your being, even now this morning, reveal the depth of God's love for you. And when that transaction happens, trust me, you will never, ever be the same again. And so, if you're in the first category and you've got friends or relatives or people you know, you may have weak knees, so don't necessarily get down, but in a posture of humility, I want you to name that person. Picture that person's face in your mind. And like Paul, just bring that person before the throne of grace this morning. God, grant to them a revelation of your love, please. And then for those this morning who need to experience God's love on a deep level, I want to ask you to do something slightly courageous in many ways. And I want you just to get out of your chair quietly, to move past the person next to you, and just to come and join me here in the front of the church. And I'm going to pray like Paul prayed. And so, Father, this morning reveal the depth and the height of your love to many in the core of their being. So I want to ask us just to stand to our feet for a second. And I want you just to create space for the person next to you or in your row. Able to come to the front and let nothing stop you, my friend. This will be the day that changes your life forever. If the space in the front gets full, well, you just fill up the aisles, whatever you need to do. But those who are left, you get praying for those you know and love who have yet to experience the love of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Father, for your sons and your daughters who are here this morning. Lord, some of them are kneeling before you, bowing before you. Father, I pray like Paul prayed, that right now in this moment, Lord, right from this side all across to the left, that right now by the power of your Holy Spirit, you begin to reveal in the core of their beings, in the depth of who they are, the incredible love. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. This is a spiritual transaction. This is not something we can talk anybody into. Holy Spirit, right now, you're revealing the depth of God's love. There may be some here front who once walked closely with God. You once did experience His love and His nearness. But because of circumstances, maybe disappointments, maybe failure, maybe just a season of dryness, you've kind of lost that cutting edge. And I just sense today God's calling some back into a place of real deep intimacy and connection, where it's not about performance and ministry, it's about love. Wow, I'm loved by God. Wow, wow. The ministry is a bonus. The service is an afterthought. The best part is knowing I'm loved by God. Lord, there are some this morning, Lord, who are facing storms. And Lord, those storms and those trials have overwhelmed their hearts, and that they need to be reminded this morning for moms and dads, Lord, who are heartbroken this morning over children, grandparents who are needing here this morning over grandchildren. Father, won't you reveal to those we know and love by the power of your Holy Spirit the depth of your love. For some of you, you've been so insecure. Sometimes you know it, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you feel it, sometimes you don't. Maybe you feel the need to perform and to make God notice you. Sometimes you feel guilty and second rate. Lord, to those people this morning, if that's you, my friend, God's going to reveal something to you right now. To those people, the depth of your love for them. The depth of your love for them, Father. May it affect their identity. May it affect their security. May it affect their relationships with their spouse and with their children. A deep rootedness in the love of God. No need to prove myself or be a certain way. I'm rooted and grounded in the knowledge that I am loved by God. So, dear friends, I'm going to pray these words over you. Yet in all these things, you are more than a conqueror. Yes, you are more than a conqueror through Him who loved you. For I'm absolutely convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall ever, from this day forward, be able to separate you from the radical, extravagant love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we seal this time. May we revel in your love. May we live in your love. And from this day forward, may we never, ever be the same again. We pray these things in Jesus' great name. Amen. 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 Thank you so much. What a joy to bring that word to you. Some of you may want to go home and you may want to diarize. You may want to write down in a notebook what God did in your life this morning. Some may want to sit here for a while longer just by yourself and allow that word to settle in your spirit. But may you leave this building today knowing you are loved by Almighty God. Amen.